Welcome to Freeform Radio on the Freeform Network. You can follow us on Facebook at Freeform Network and Twitter at FFR Podcast. And remember to send your questions and suggestions to ffnquestions@gmail.com. We're back in Adam on this wintry day here in the Midwest, Chicagoland. It's snowing today, so as you get older, kind of sucks, but we'll make do. We got one of our hosts was able to make it in today. We got Danny.
Yes, sir. I didn't have to drive in the snow, but I agree with you. I don't like it.
And we got I'm here. All good, Andy. We're back. Another year. We made it to a new year. The world's still kind of shitty, but I don't know. There's a lot of people I saw posting on social media what that hasn't been banned yet. Talking about new year, it'd be a better new year. And guess the week started off kind of fucking rough, especially here in the United States. But we'll see what happens, man. We're gonna keep going at it, and then we'll see what happens. But hopefully, maybe by spring, shit will be a lot better.
Right. I know we don't want to get too crazy political, but you're talking about the Capitol siege, or however they're. Whatever narrative they're using for it,
the more like just a protest. I feel anyway, but you know,
right?
You always one thing we could get deplatformed, Danny, and we're gonna lose the tens of dollars that we might make on this fucking network. So we got to tread lightly here because the big tech is controlling all the narrative right now.
And do you think people can't talk about it right now? You know, I wasn't planning to talk about it. Anyways,
just I was trying to keep it light, but yes.
No, I get what you're saying, but I'd hate to think that that's the world we live in, that you can't express what your beliefs are. To me, I don't believe in what AOC usually spits out, or half the people in social media. I usually don't agree with it, but I don't go about yelling at these people or finding a way to get them banned from the media sites that I'm in. There's people that post baby pictures 3 times a day on their post, and it gets kind of on my nerves. I'm just like, dude, I got it. I see your baby. It's cool, man. I got it. 1 picture a day, I could tolerate. 3, it's like, I think that's past the social norms, man, or past the social acceptance. Of course, I'm exaggerating here, but people can do whatever they want on social media. If I don't like it, I should be the one that steps out. I should be the one to be like, you know what? I need a timeout because I can't tolerate X, Y, Z. It shouldn't be the other way around. There shouldn't be censorship of speech, thought, even though a lot of it is heinous and kind of vengeful, but just don't look at it. There's a lot of shitty stuff in this world. You don't have to look or be exposed to it if you don't want to. They got filters.
Well, I forgot. It might have been you or somebody else. We kind of talked about in the past, like about a year ago, how the big tech, they had a different word for it. Maybe it was big tech, but there was a big movement to regulate them as a utility.
Right.
And the big argument against it was, well, they're private companies, which it is correct. But, I mean, now you look at what a private company that controls major, they have major control of information, and now you're seeing who they can silence, because before they kicked a couple people off, and people were like, oh, these people are conspiracy theorists, and this and that. And now you saw this pass from the election here, what they can do and what they did, and now they got the president, the current president-elect, I mean, who's going to be in office in a couple of days, and they're banning everybody that question anything, and they're going even further in their people who have business, like who make the transactions and all that. They're kicking a certain guy out, and Twitter and Facebook, they permanently banned a lot of people who think a certain way, which is, you know, conservative, whatever you feel about them. But to me, that's kind of scary, because they kicked that group out, and then early on, when last year or a year and a half ago, they were talking about, well, go build your own website, go build your own version of Twitter. They fucking did, and then they went like, oh no, this thing's getting really popular, so they deplatformed them by not letting them put their app up. And like, come on, everybody knows, yes, you can go through your laptop or computer and go that, but come on, everybody knows you do everything on your phone. So they took the app down. Both the Apple and the Android people.
That's that app with that P, right? I forget the name
Parler.
Of it. Parler, yeah. Right.
And then they had Amazon servers as, you know, for their networking, and Amazon kicked them the fuck out. So what do you do when the three big companies that, I don't want to say control, but have a big say, and when you get kicked out of that, what do you do next? So now they have to start over, create their own network and all this other stuff, which is going to take a lot of time. And it can be done, but those people were pushing, well, make your own thing. They did, and then they kicked them out again. So,
to your point, it sucks that this stuff is happening, the silencing.
They could come back. It's just going to be harder and more expensive. Instead of what 99% of other companies can do, they could just, set this up, set that, pay up for this. No, now they got to build their own shit. And what happens when they build their own shit, their own network, their own thing? What's the next attack? You know, these people are whatever, and I want to see what happens next. Kind of like what happened to Alex Jones. I mean, he got kicked out of all the social things because, you know, he was inciting violence or something. Whatever, however you allegedly. Feel about him,
right.
Allegedly, and he created his own fucking video site, his own. He had his app, they kicked his app out, his store, all that. And then even after that, he still ran into some issues. He had some issues on the business side. Some of the people that take money didn't, you know, who process payments and all that, they didn't want to, they kicked them out. So I think he's left like with one option. After that, like, what do? You're going to go old school and get like money orders and checks and stuff, or Zelle? I mean, he was like the guinea pig for all this, and he was warning people it's going to happen. He was a big, whatever you feel like, he was saying, if this happens to me, they could do it to anybody. And they did it to the current president of the United States. They silenced him. And whatever you feel, you know, however your politics, think about that. A company who has this mass reach said, nope, we're not going to let them say anything. Okay. So what's left, and you know, what do you do after that? I mean, your job, I don't know, like Facebook is a little bit different. I have a different view on that, but they silenced them on there too. YouTube and like Twitter, the big two, where they won't let you, you people go to gather information and get their news now. I mean, that's a big thing that just happened. Like when you had President-elect Biden go, oh yeah, the president needs to go on national TV, and like, who the fuck goes on national TV at a certain time? Like, we don't live in that age no more. Everything is on your phone or streaming on the internet. Nobody tunes in at 8 o'clock or anything. Nobody, only certain age group does that. I mean, today's world, nobody does that. They right away, they go to somewhere, YouTube, Twitter, and you see what the hell's going on.
Well, I think what he might have also, I mean, I don't want to interpret or put words into the guy's mouth, but I think what he meant is that the president needed to speak to the public. And before that, he had just given these brief, you know, 30 character responses from Twitter, and not really a full on video or some kind of response to kind of let the people know his thoughts. Elaborated, other than just a 13 character or whatever the character limit there is.
He asked them to tell him to leave or whatever.
Yeah, Biden said,
yes,
please address the nation. Whether he said to address them through TV, which, like you said, it is kind of antiquated, But I just think his point was you need to address the nation. And he did do that afterwards. He did
do that. And then they banned him on everything.
Right. After he did that, they banned him. I mean, I know this wasn't even something we're going to talk about today. But to me, I don't even think they were 100% wrong. Even though when I first started this podcast, I just told you that I don't think they should censor anybody. I think this was a sensitive situation, in a unique situation where I believe his mic needed to be muted for a minute to let calmer thoughts prevail and then open it back up to dialogue. But I do agree that his conversation, I hate using the word rhetoric, but his thoughts going out there to his people or whoever was listening to him were being misconstrued, or I heard some of his speeches, and to me, some of it, yes, it's a little blatantly like go out there and get what you want, and you know, kind of telling these people to take a more aggressive nature. So he wasn't kind of preaching the peace that he was in the later interviews. So I get the thought and the want to censor him. I just don't really agree that it should be a permanent ban or kind of an extensive ban. It should have just been in the moment, been like, look, you're poking at the fire. Let's let this shit calm down. And then afterwards, let's start a dialogue to figure out what's going on.
Well, I mean, those are valid points, Dan. But when you got the 24-hour news media just constantly, look, man, whatever you believe in the news, and he picked a fight with them, and I felt generally he was getting the better of them, the president, and he, you know, with the fake news, and you have two networks at the end that turned into three. Fox kind of switched on them. Just fucking constantly lie. I mean, I don't care what you say. A lot of it was lies, and a lot of it was they were pushing their narrative about how he's evil or whatever the hell you want to call it. I mean, you just need to step back and just negativity, negative, over the top, crazy negative. And then what they choose to write about is just it explains why those people were there, because it is BS. And you had Project Veritas record those meetings. I don't know if you even heard about that then.
No, what is that?
Project Veritas is a group that goes around exposing stuff like news media and just other topics. More, they lean more to conservative views. They were able to get into the CNN meetings in the morning. Someone gave him the code. You know how you have conference calls?
Right.
And he has hundreds of hours of recording about how they would game plan on how to attack Trump. Like, that's all they would talk about.
The subject of the meeting was, let's get Trump.
Yeah, man. Pretty much. Yeah.
Jesus.
Watch the videos. I mean, I watched a couple of it, and it's just like, yeah, this isn't objective. This is they're targeting somebody that went after them. Now he's like, let's go after him. How can we make this fucking where he looks like an asshole? Or how do we make this? Those conversations were had, and you could hear them on these recordings. The president of CNN, he was in those meetings saying, how can we use his lawyer to make him look bad? Or how can we use this to make him look like he's the aggressor? Like, those were conversations that were had, and no one is talking about this. Like, that just goes to show you, I mean, I know we're getting way off topic, but like, do your own research. That's why I tell people, don't listen to me. I can send you links, and like, you read about it, and you let me know. And 9 out of 10 times, people won't look at that, or they'll make up like, this is just one thing. But it's like major, like this is just one that they were able to prove. There's other news outlets that are probably doing the same thing.
I agree with you that the news media nowadays, it's not what it used to be. A lot of it is opinionated and it's not factual. All of them. Even the conservative ones, the liberal side, they're all going to their narrative of what they want to put. And even Fox, and I tend to lean more towards Fox News, but even them, I've noticed that they have a leanance towards exaggerating the right side and kind of spewing that message. And so I think it is difficult for anybody nowadays to get any kind of news, especially with, like you said, there's not a TV network that you can go onto and watch and get a feel as to some subjective information. The only place you can go is Facebook and Twitter and stuff like that. And those sites, they're skewed to your opinion. So if you put that you like to kick dogs off of bridges, you know, like Anchorman style, and you keep liking and seeing stuff like that, Facebook will keep sending you crap like that. They keep sending you stuff that you like and stuff that you are opinionated about, because those are the things you like, and that's how they want to skew your view. So if you go pro-Trump, or you go pro-Biden, that's all you're going to see in those networks, in Facebook and Twitter. That's all the crap you're going to see. You're going to see everything pro to your views, and everything else is not going to be shown. So you're not going to get an objective, factual, like, let me just give you the facts. You make up your opinion. This is what happened. You have your thoughts to you know, kind of figure it out.
Well, not necessarily. In this election cycle, I was getting bombarded on the Facebook just with like constant like news stuff about from like CNN, MSNBC, CNN, like about the election. It would just like, it would be on my feed. I'm like, why am I seeing this? And then you hit that little thing like, I don't want to see this. Like, you know, just stop showing it to me. And so what they did is they just switched it up to the newspapers or the online newspaper stuff, and like USA Today and the Washington, the Post and all this. And I'm just like, I don't want to see any of this shit, man. Like, when I want to see news, I'll do my own thing. I got my own outlets. And when I like, this shit doesn't make sense, I got some other things I can see. But I was like, and they're like, we fact checked this. I'm like, who are your fact checkers? And you look at the fact checkers that they have. They're full of shit too, man. It's people with agendas. And like, this is just like I said, it's just being skewed like one way. And you go to like one fact checker, yeah, this has been confirmed by CNN and the AP. And then you go some other one and they're like, well, this has been partially fact checked by this. And I'm just like, even the fact checkers are like, just, they're full of shit. So it's a world you have to navigate. And I've always been, especially with the news, even before all of this, I've always been kind of skeptical of them, because they do lie. I mean, it's been proven. They've been taken to court. This isn't the only case. Now, it's been made bigger because of the election and the narrative they were pushing since when Trump first got elected. You know, all the Russians meddled in Trump getting elected, right? Early when he got elected. And then all of a sudden, all that stopped. And then they had some, I think they found the Russians hired somebody to put memes up or some bullshit like that. You know, they arrested people for putting fucking memes up. Like, whatever. That's fine. Okay. So yes, that's your collusion on this. And then about this, how he kept pushing, you know, about the election. I mean, there are some, I mean, they're not, I've seen some videos, I've seen some evidence, I mean, some reported evidence. But again, it wasn't like, oh, there's your fucking smoking gun. But a lot of stuff accumulated. They did go to court. They won a couple of the lawsuits or the things that they presented in some of the states. And the media doesn't tell you that. They just told you he lost this one, he lost that one, he lost this one. But he did win some of the cases that showed what they were saying was fraud. I mean, and like, so, okay, there was something. But the big one was about the, you know, the Dominion voting machines. I saw some videos how those things got hacked. You don't hear anything about that in the news media because, you know, they're pushing this. Oh, no, the elections were safe and all this other stuff. But 4 years earlier, they're like, no, this shit's all fucked up. It got hijacked. Now they did a complete 180.
Yeah.
I feel, in my opinion, you know, but again, it's you got to do a lot of research because today's, like you said earlier, today's news media, they have one objective is that they report the news, but they when they feel like they have to do something about any type of topic or social thing, they kind of skew it how they want to. And they'll say, I think I saw a post, someone goes, oh, the British are coming. And then someone put like a fact check. Oh, yes, partially true. The British are coming, but some of them might not all be British. They might be so-and-so or something, like some bullshit like that. Like, yeah, it's just like they're spinning it how they want you, how they feel, or if they feel like they're against that current piece of news, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you. I think it's difficult, and it might get even harder. I meant to bring this up when you were talking about it, but you know, it's mostly conservatives having issues nowadays putting their voices out there. How come the liberal side, if we wanted to label them something, how come the liberal side owns the media, owns the social networks, owns the video distribution networks? How come the conservative side don't have these means as well? What were they investing their money into? What were they doing while the liberal portion of the United States was investing this into this network of information so that they could have a voice? Why was the conservative side not doing the same investments so that, oh, we got kicked out of YouTube, no problem, we'll go to Joe Schmo's videos and that's where we can post our shit? How come that's not around? How come there's nothing like that?
There is. I mean, there are some. There are some pages or video sites like that. You just need to watch certain videos on YouTube because they're so scared that they're going to get deplatformed. They started going to other pages, and I think in the next year you're probably going to see them get more popular. Like, I didn't even know about some of these sites.
And, yeah, I didn't know about that Parler one.
Yeah, so
I didn't know that until I got into the news.
Yeah, no, there's other video streaming platforms besides YouTube, but YouTube's like the, you know, Goliath, dude. I don't even know what their share is on the video side of it, but everybody goes to YouTube. It's easy access. We're on YouTube. But once they start getting steam, traction, they'll keep an eye on you. And, you know, going back to why are they like this? Well, remember, now we're going really into deep think. So if the people who create, like YouTube and Facebook and Twitter, so they become these huge companies. It's like this free speech area, not free speech, but like they want inclusivity. They want everybody be on there. And then in the last 5 years, you know, since 5-6 years, there's this change in society with especially younger people where they want inclusivity, but they only want you in that group if you believe what they believe. And YouTube and Facebook and Twitter, there's been an influx of these people, right? You know, they got promoted and there was just this big thing like, we don't need to listen to this. Just kick them out. Like, that's a big thing right now. Like, hate, you know, oh, this is hate speech. We shouldn't have to listen to it. Just kick them out. Kick them out. Like, never in my life. I mean, I should say never in my life, but I've never seen anything like this where you could just get kicked out of shit because they don't agree with what you're saying. Right. And Joe Rogan had Jack Dorsey, and that's the guy who started Twitter. And one of his, I forget her name. She was like the VP of like Twitter, like some type of like what you could, who gets kicked out. or something. I forgot. And Tim Pool, which is Tim Pool is pretty cool. I don't agree with everything Tim Pool says, but he, to me, I feel like he gets it. And he was there arguing with these people saying that you have a bias. You kick out people who you don't agree with. It started with the pronouns, you know, with the transgender stuff. Even Joe Rogan had some issues. He questioned it. And it evolved into politics. And they were going back and forth. And it's a great podcast, man. It's you should. It's like a almost 2 years old. And they went at Tim Pool. Just let him have it. He brought up valid points of where you banned people because they said this. And this doesn't violate any of your rules. It's just you don't like what they say. And the lady came back at him and they went back and forth, and like it was great. It was a great podcast, man. I highly recommend. I don't even know if it's on YouTube anymore. I think it is. The rules are not set in stone and they constantly change, and that's right. The problem. The rules are changing as the game goes along, and it's going against people with different views of what the company or the people who work at the company.
And now look,
that's what he brought up. And even Jack Dorsey tweeted this week that it's a shame that he did not feel comfortable banning the president, and that he kind of regrets it, but he understands it's scary. And it just like, I'm paraphrasing, of course. I mean, you got to look it up, but he didn't feel that was the right thing to do. But I think inside of Twitter, that company, there's so many people said, like, we have to do this. We have to do this. And I don't think he wanted to go against his employees.
Right. Now look, I know I brought up the point, how come the conservative side don't have their own avenues, but I don't know if that's necessarily the answer. I think if you were to do something like that where you have a conservative side and a liberal side of media, social networks, or whatever have you, I think that's just going to create more division. I think these platforms need to provide a haven, an atmosphere where people can express their thoughts, good or bad. I mean, I kind of hate to say it, but even people that are into, like, let's say capital punishment, and maybe I'm against capital punishment, I think they should have a voice. I think they should be able to talk there. People that you know, that are into weird Furby stuff, you know, I'm not into that, but they should have a voice and be able to put their thoughts on whatever network. And then if I don't agree with it or I don't want to hear about it, I can turn that off, and then I won't hear about that and I won't be exposed to that. I think that's the atmosphere we need. I think it's got to be a whole lot less judgmental and just be a place where people can express their thoughts. And then if you don't agree with it, then you can shut that portion of the conversation off.
Again, it's yeah, like they have, you know, the Constitution lets us have free speech, but the problem is it's being circumvented by big tech.
And right, like, but those are private networks, so I don't want to construe you stepping out into the curb and spouting whatever you want to say as to posting it on Facebook. Facebook is a private network by a private company. This is free forum network, so this is our thoughts, and if somebody comes on here and we don't like it, we have the right to say, well, we don't want to put this voice out there because this is our private network. So the same way I give Facebook, they do have the right to censor whoever they want. They're a private network. I just don't think they should.
Yes. And like, that's a valid point. But again, when, man, I lost my train of thought. It was going to be a good one too. Man.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Lost to the ether, man. So, man.
It'll come back after we finish recording.
Yeah. So, to me, I think when you got three big companies, you know, YouTube, Google, Twitter, and Facebook, even Apple, who
MySpace way.
I think maybe Trump should buy MySpace and start that. Right. So I was reading, you know, I forgot why I read it.
I could probably guess why you read it.
Start their own social network. The irony would be is if fucking Trump goes in there and bought like Twitter or something. Like, to me, that would be like the ultimate like fuck you. But I don't know, man. It got to a point where I like Twitter, but yes, there's a lot of BS that goes on there, and a lot of but it's kind of really like it's not very constructive anymore. And I don't agree with you with banning stuff. Like when all the BLM stuff went down this past summer, and it was just it was flooded on Twitter. I saw some cases where they were bringing up valid points. What happened to certain people, like right. to certain cases that I didn't even hear about, and where they feel like it was racial profiling and such. And
right.
Yeah. I mean, some of them, a big chunk of them, like, yeah, this, like it wasn't really publicized. I go, but yeah, like this is valid. Like some of them were like, I don't know, the person had this, but I wouldn't have known about that if they didn't post it on Twitter. Now, if Twitter had like a different viewpoint on that and they just started banning all that, all hell would have been breaking loose. But they don't. They agreed with that because that is an issue that we need to address in our country. But again, there was cases on there that I didn't know. And to me, this is like, yeah, this is some racial profiling nonsense that unfortunately ended in someone dying. And like, if they didn't silence them, there was all sorts of stuff, kill certain type of people and all this stuff. It was like, it was fucking crazy. And I was just like, but they didn't silence none of those people, any of those tweets or anything. I mean, and it's just like, well, okay. So I was able to, not that they changed my mind, but they gave me new insight of why, what's kind of, they're super upset, but I didn't like how what happened in the aftermath and all the rioting and all that. That's not cool. I mean, you're putting a lot of people lost their businesses and their livelihood. I mean, that's not cool, but I get why they were protesting. Absolutely. Like, and they have every right to do that. And I might not agree 100% with it.
Destroyed property.
It wasn't fucking. The rioting and all that, yeah, that's different. That protest that ended as, when they started burning shit down. Like, I was seeing tweets on Twitter on the Capitol. They were literally saying, shoot those people. Like, that to me, I was like, oh, really? Like, this is a complete 180 from the other, when the protest from the summer. So, right. Again, it's it's not it, the world's really, I mean, it's man, 2021 did not start off great.
I think it shows you how one-sided the conversation could be from either side. When BLM was doing what they were doing during the summer, when the people in Seattle were taking over the police station, the autonomy zone. When they were doing all that, a lot of the left side of the conversation was, let's be tolerant. Let's let these people express themselves. And then the right side was, no, we got to go in there and have our authority because we need law and order. Whatever your thought is on that. And then now with this Capitol thing that happened, you're right. A lot of the left side was, this is appalling. This is I heard somebody say, this is a sacred land for our nation. And I'm like, oh, sacred. Okay. What, do they go like pray to their gods there? Or, I mean, I didn't know it was sacred. But anyways, this is a place that, you know, it's got to be preserved, all this and blah, blah, blah. Go in there, like you said, guns a-blazing, and treat these people the way they're being treated, you know, with force. And then the right side was more like, no, they're just, you know, upset people. They're people that are just trying to express themselves, and they're upset with the situation and trying to kind of be more passive about it. And so to me, I saw like a 180 from both sides on both situations. And to me, both situations were exactly alike almost. where there was destruction of property. There was people that didn't just go out there to chant on the corner. They physically went into buildings and destroyed property, threatened people. People got hurt. People got killed, man. So to me, in both situations, that is not right, man. If you want to go out there and go on that stoop and just tell your point of view and gather a crowd and get people, you know, to be like, yes, this is what's going on, that is 100% fine. It's when you go in there and you start pushing your thoughts by force and by intimidation, that's when I think things are out of control and cooler minds need to prevail in situations like that.
Yeah, man, it's sad how it ended up coming, and I feel like I get the frustration, absolutely. Like, not that they're sacred halls, but I mean it's you know, Capitol Hill and all that stuff. Dude. And it's to me, like, I've always wanted to go in there, but the way they went in there, I think, you know, however you feel about Congress, but I mean I had mixed feelings about it. I'm like, right. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, to me, dude, I know it sounds like a boring vacation, but I told my wife, I'm like, one of the things on my bucket list is to go to the 13 colonies and go see all of the rich American history that we have as to how this country was put together. And I would love to do like a vacation kind of visiting these sites, these big, you know, like Capitol Hill. But so I don't hold it and revere it as to being a sacred place, but I do think it's a very important place that should not be destroyed. It should not have people going there, breaking windows and kind of disturbing all the rich history that's part of that. So I don't condone it. I don't condone any kind of things of violence. I think it's, not to bring too much religion, but I think you need to be more accepting. I think people need to be more open-minded, open-eared, and be open to the possibility of having your mind changed. Just like you said, Andy, you didn't really know too much of the BLM, you know, whatever was going on. And then you saw that article that kind of opened your light to something. And maybe it didn't change your opinion, but maybe it dropped a seed in there to have you have a different thought or mindset into something. And I think people need to do that. People need to kind of have their eyes and ears open to the other side of the story. And yeah, maybe it's not going to change your opinion, but it'll hopefully enlighten you a little bit to where you'll be able to formulate a more sensible thought by hearing a lot of different points of views.
I mean, without a doubt, there was injustice in some of those cases, and some, but not all of them, what they were. I mean, they were just throwing stuff up there, but there was like the big ones, you know, with Floyd and the woman down in Kentucky or whatever, to say her name or whatever. I mean, they're absolutely, you know, there's some other ones that no one's even talking about. But unfortunately, in our country, that, I mean, it sucks to say it happens, and you always hope that the court system will get it right, and sometimes they do and sometimes they don't. But I mean, that sucks, and I feel that, because it does happen, and sometimes it feels like it does happen in minority areas of, you know, people who are minorities. Unfortunately, that happens to a lot, but it does happen to everybody. And you know, going back, but they, you know, I didn't know about them because I didn't know, nobody in the news, people, news media is talking, they're just talking about all this, the big ones. And like, yeah, I mean, shit happens. Absolutely. Like, America is not perfect, but we all live here. And, you know, going back to the Capitol, those people this week, you saw arrests being made. And one of them who they got a recording, you know, saying like, let's burn this place down or whatever, is, it was, Antifa member and a big he was out there in the summer. So I mean, but no one's really talking about that. And I think I haven't read somewhere. I believe I glanced at it that he was interviewed by CNN on air, and he was like a BLM activist, and he was at the Capitol, you know, caught on video saying like, "Let's burn it down," and they were saying he's a Trump supporter, but no one's really talking about that.
So, not that you can't support both. Not that you support BLM and Trump.
Well, I don't know. Like,
but it does make you kind of fishy. Stuff.
Yeah, right. Like it just brings up like what early on. Oh, there was Antifa members there. Blah blah blah. And I'm just like, oh, I don't know about all that. But you're starting to see stuff like this trickle out. But again, you know, the news media, your standard, you know, fact checked news media, they don't talk about it because it's not the narrative they want to push. That's the new. I think that's the new keyword for the year's narrative, because I've been seeing that a lot lately and right. All these articles that I read. But, you know, I mean, they had like, you know, America is we got some issues. We need to work through it. What the president-elect said about, you know, I'm everybody's president. And then he does like a 180 and just starts shitting on certain people. It's just like, that's not really. It's not really unifying the country, because, yeah, we do need some of that. We do need to get past this fucking pandemic. And then after that, we still got some fucking issues. It's been a constant in our country since I've been just about as an adult. Right. And, you know, so we'll see. I mean, I don't know, Dan. It's just problems that have plagued America, and it's whatever the news media brings up and pushes at the time that benefits them,
right?
With this president, it's gonna be it's been a while, you know. With Obama, I kind of remember certain things, how they, you know, they helped him and all that, and with Trump came in, and right away when he started attacking him and making fun of him, and he won. He just being the man, the master troll that he is, he fucking didn't let him forget. And I think that's what happened. He started just fucking with him too much.
I don't know, man. I kind of pray for cooler heads, people to just take a step back and just think things out a little bit and be a little more sympathetic to the situation that the other side might be under. Whether it aligns with your thoughts or not, I think it's difficult. It's difficult when you're passionate about a view and then passionate. You have somebody from the opposite side come with their thoughts. I think it's difficult. I think it's difficult to kind of accept it when, you know, it's like my mom used to say in Mexico, when you get labeled mataperro, which is a dog killer, that label stays with you. Whether you stop killing dogs or whatever happens, it's like you, this stink, this perspective is on you, and it's difficult for people to think about you in any other light. And I think that happens a lot in media, where you get labeled a certain way and there's nothing you could do to kind of redeem that quality. Now, let me ask you, Andy, I noticed, I think it was like 3 or 4 days ago, Trump went on the White House Twitter feed or Facebook or something, and he did a speech, like an Oval Office kind of speech, mm-hmm. where he's sitting behind his desk and he's preaching for peace, he's preaching for understanding, we're one nation, everybody together. He's given the usual bullet point stuff that, in my opinion, he should have been saying since day one of all the problems. Every time there would be an issue, BLM, he should have been out there saying what he said in that speech. When they did the Capitol thing, he should have been out there saying what he just said in that speech. He needs to kind of give that thought out there. He needs to put that vibe out there that, hey, we need to get together, come together in these situations, and we need to be one. And I thought, you know, granted, my bullshit meter was going off a little bit. I didn't take everything verbatim and say, yeah, this is the guy. He's saying the truth here. You know, I wasn't going like that. I cut my bullshit meter was going off a little bit, but at the same time, I'm like, he's saying the right things, regardless if he really actually means it, because I can't tell if Obama, when he used to say that, if he really meant it, or Bush before that, if he really meant it, or Clinton, you know, or whoever. I can't say that these people actually meant these things when they would say it, but it's the right thing to say in those situations. It's the thing to kind of get the everybody, America, together. So I was just like, I wonder how the media is going to take this the next day, was my thought, because I saw it on Facebook or wherever. And I'm like, tomorrow when I wake up, because I usually watch the news in the morning, I turned on the news, I'm watching it, usual spiel of all the headlines. It was a like a blurb in just the background. They did not even talk about that he had a speech. They didn't mention that he, you know, preached for unity. It was nothing like that. And I turned to my wife and I told her, I'm like, that's the bad part, is that even though I think some of it is bullshit, on his thing, or at least the way I perceived it, I think some of it's kind of the bullshit meter stuff, but still it's the right thing to say, and the media is not even bringing it up. The media is not even kind of trying to give it some validity and be like, you know what, it might be a minute late, but here is what the president said about us coming together, and so, kind of show a clip of it, and they did not even mention it at all.
They're not gonna do that. Maybe he's just being, you know, politicking, I guess, to say. I mean, we all know
he's going to get Trump impeached. So they knew they're coming for him. So maybe he's like, I got to say something.
I think what he did, he just did it so he could say he did it. But I'm not saying it's bullshit, but I felt like that needed to be said. But regardless of what he says, he's not going to get the... You know, they're not gonna be like, oh, okay, he's genuine now. Like, let's do all this shit. Nah, man, the news media in particular, who I'm going after, they hate his guts. And there's a big segment in the newspapers, the online newspapers, and the blog. You know, people who have opinions, they just that's their bread and butter, dude. That's where they make their money, attacking this fucking guy. Because that's why, if you look at the ratings and all this shit from CNN, it's gone up as soon as they went to after he challenged them. They've gone up. I mean, it's just, it's their fucking golden goose, and now it's gone. And, you know, and so they're like, fuck, what are we going to do? I bet you even after he's gone, you know, they're still going to be like, oh, I want to see how they handle it, because... I was kind of disappointed that he's not going to go to the inauguration of Biden, of the president-elect. I think it would have been the best fucking troll moment if he would have gone, because I want to see everybody just get so pissed. I want to see how they shoot when he's giving his speech with Trump, like, in the background. I just wanted to see how they would handle all of that shit, because, you know, because he broke that fucking town. I mean, everybody fucking hates him. And you always got to wonder, well, why? Just because he's an asshole? Nah, I think there's other stuff. And, you know, there's other people saying that he's going to declassify stuff. But it's going to be interesting to say the least. But I was kind of disappointed he didn't go. I wanted to see that awesome reality TV fucking show right there. I mean, I would have, like, fucking had my phone though, from beginning to end. Because that's something I want to fucking see.
I think a lot of society really wants to see stuff like that. They love seeing that car crash, you know, driving by, and people slow down to see stuff like that. People love that stuff. But I think what the world needs is a little less of that. I think the world needs, and I'm not preaching by any means like I'm this almighty guy that doesn't slow down when there is an accident, but I think the world needs less of that. I think the world needs people to want to see disasters less, and to want to see success, want to see things strive. You know, when you're watching a movie, you want it to be in a happy ending. You don't want at the end of the movie everybody to be dead and you know, the bad guy won. So people down deep want things to be well, want things to be well for other people, not just themselves. So I think that's the kind of the vibes that are needed more days now. More positivity, more people being successful, being humble. You know, Trump going out there and maybe not giving a face when they're giving a speech, and maybe being a little more humble and be like, "Oh, thank you, anyways." You know, yeah, I'm on the way out, but you know, congratulations.
That's the
you
thing. Know, Trump, I think like
that's
that.
What they. No, I get that. I get he probably would never do that because that's not in his personality. But yeah. I think that's what the world needs. Is the world needs people to be more humble, people to be more grateful, people to be more understanding, and be more loving. I mean, I don't want to sound like a tree hugger or anything like that, but I mean, it's just like you need to kind of just be more loving and be more understanding. And I think it'll go a long way.
I think one of the reasons Trump got elected is because the politicians, I mean, in this country, I can't speak for other parts of the world. I mean, they were fucking appeasing many people. And even though when the current issue was maybe bullshit and they still acknowledge it and like, oh yeah, we're going to do all this, people just got tired of that shit. And that's one of the reasons this got Trump elected, because he's not a politician. He speaks what's on his mind. He don't fucking even pause. And then he fucking tweets even more. And I think at that time, that's what America wanted. And now, what, you know, whatever happened with the election, Biden's in, and we're going to get the complete one fucking 180, and we'll see what, I mean, I'm not a fan of Biden, but I hope he does a decent job and he don't fuck with my money too much. But I mean, all the stuff that's coming out now, it's just like, it's fucking insane. Like one of his, I think I saw the other day, like he wants to have, within the first 100 days, he wants to have, 100 million vaccinations out there. Did you read that? And I'm just like, well, yeah, that's a fucking priority. Get that shit rolling out. Cause I feel the vaccine, I mean, I will put at ease, put at ease a lot of people because of the pandemic.
Right.
And I'm with Trump leaving, I thought he would get this rolled out better, but I don't know if this is like what happened. They had this Operation Warp Speed and like, it just kind of fucking stalled. So I really don't know what happened, because if it's something with the election, but I think that should be a priority, rolling that shit out to put a lot of people at ease. And then, I mean that, but then he's already talking about more spending, more all this. And I'm just like, there you go, man. It's a standard Democrat, you know, 47 plus years in being a politician. He ain't breaking no stereotypes with his Democratic. So he's going to do all this spending and like, okay, well, we'll see where they get the money from, but okay. And they're already talking about he got enough votes to get an additional 1,400 more in, you know, COVID money or whatever the hell you want for the payout for each person. So even though Trump initially put the two G's, McConnell fucking backstabbed them or whatever the fuck. So I'll be interested to see if they'll give it to Biden.
No, they're going to give it to Biden.
Like, that's my little conspiracy shit. Like, yeah, fuck you. We got this. And
well, they're going to give it to him because he has the House and the Senate. Yeah. So Trump didn't. So regardless of Trump,
he had the Senate. It's just McConnell led some of those Republicans not to vote for it. So,
well, I had read that there was fat on the bill. It wasn't just like the only bullet point on this bill is we're going to give people $2,000, that there was other stuff on there that were kind of pigtailed to it.
For that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure. And so that was one of the things where he's just like, look, we could sign off on it if it's just about the checks, but if it's about all this other shit, then we can't sign off on it. And supposedly, I'm not a politician. I don't watch, you know, politiciannews.com or whatever website or anything like that. So I don't know.
It's out there. You get a free plug, man.
I don't know all the details, but I did read stuff like that, that there was other stuff on this bill. And then that's what kind of irked the Republicans from passing it in the Senate. I think now that Biden has both, I think there won't be much problems with anything he really wants or really wants to do. And it was the same thing with Obama. Obama, for one of his terms, he had the House and the Senate. So it made his life a lot easier, and that's how Obamacare and a lot of other stuff got passed. So I got a feeling that this next term for Biden, he's going to push a lot of things, and a lot of his thoughts are going to get out there. And so I don't think he's going to have much trouble at all.
He said early he's going to use executive orders. You know, I think he kind of shitted on them. He's already talking about he's going to use them. So it's going to be interesting to see what he does next week. In a couple of days, actually, right? Yeah, so it's going to be interesting to see what he does because I don't know, man. Some of the rhetoric he pushed out is just like – it's like doom and fucking gloom. And you can see some of the Democratic governors and some of the mayors talking about – you're kind of starting to see a change about how they need to reopen now. I don't know if you read some of that because –
right.
You know, the core businesses, the restaurants and all, they're just like they're fucking dying and they're not going to come back because of all these states that are closed.
Yeah, I heard Lifel and everybody.
Yeah, she's changed her
tune. We got to open.
Yeah, because, you know, that's their livelihood and a lot of them ain't coming back. It, like now you got Biden in there and he's talking about he's going to give money to small businesses and shit. But, yeah, I mean, you know, before all that, we can't let anyone die with the pandemic. And now they're changing their tune because there's a new guy. The big guy is going to be in the White House now. And it's going to be interesting to see how they're going to change their tune to reopen this motherfucker up. But, yeah, man, it's going to be interesting. I mean, I don't want no president to fail. I just hope, you know, we don't get into any more fucking wars or anything like that. Because you see Iran doing his saber rattling again and right. China fucking with them too. And Trump, he didn't go to war with them. Who knows what Biden might do if the big state, the deep state wants war. To me, it sounds like they want a fucking war. And I was reading an article the other day how in the U.S. has in Afghanistan and Iraq about 2,500 troops in each country, which is great. I mean, we're not dealing with a lot of that bullshit no more. And some of that's because of Trump. But I'm like, I'm tired of fucking wars, man. I'm like, that's, to me, it's just pointless unless they fuck with us here in the U.S. or we got treaties or something. But, like, that shit's done with, man. Like, so we'll see what happens, man. Iran's fucking saber rattling about how they want to kill Trump, but I don't think that leader didn't get banned from Twitter. I think he tweeted that, and I think he's still tweeting more, man.
Right. But now I hope people support Biden objectively. I hope people, no matter how hypocritical maybe some things, like you kind of mentioned how Biden was shitting on the executive order when Trump would do it, but now he's talking about how he might do it. I know he's going to do it, but I'm saying that he was crapping on it. So now him to want to do it might be seen as hypocritical. I just hope
they're going to applaud it, dude. They're going to say, oh, look, he's getting shit done. And all
I'm saying you're going to think it's hypocritical.
I don't. I mean, to me, that's what executive does. No, I'm just saying when Trump did it, everybody was shitting on it. Now, when he does it, watch, they're going to the narrative, you know, oh, man, he's getting everything ready to go. And this is what it takes to get it done. That's the wording they're going to.
Right. But is that going to bother you?
Not really. I mean, it's a tool that the president has. I mean, if he needs it to do it, do it. I don't have an issue. It's just, again, Dan, how they spin the narrative of if it's good or bad.
I mean, to me, I don't care how they spin it, as long as it's for the betterment of whatever is happening. So I get what you're saying, but I guess I misread what you were trying to say. I thought you were saying it as, you know, it's kind of hypocritical for Biden to do it when Trump did it.
It's a politician, dude.
Right. No, and I get it. I just hope that that's less of the mentality going forward. That people will compare apples to apples with Biden and Trump because they are not apples to apples. It's apples to oranges. They're totally different guys. And I just want the best for the country. I didn't vote for Biden, but I didn't vote for Trump either. So to me, I just hope the best for the country going forward. I just, like you said, as long as they don't mess with my money too much and as long as we don't get into any wars, I'll count it as a pretty successful presidency. Yeah. So hopefully he does that.
Yeah, I mean, it's I find in the last couple weeks the rhetoric coming from the Middle East and again, like, why the fuck are these guys talking so much shit again? Like, I think they're testing Biden, and it's going to be interesting to see what he's going to do. And then China, all I know is China likes Biden. They said with him in the White House is just it's a good thing for them. I saw that in I forgot what article I read. It's like it's a good thing for them because, you know, China, you know, we all know how Trump felt about China. So, you know, it's interesting, you know, and I want to see how. I just hope we don't get into more wars, man. I'm fucking done with that. I think America needs a break from wars. And yeah, don't fuck with my money, man. It's the economy, stupid.
Right. So I guess this was an episode full of political talk that kind of went off the rails, is the saying? Yeah, right? Off the rails?
Yeah, it went completely off the rails.
Right,
it's a good thing, I guess. I mean,
no, yeah. I think it was a pretty good conversation. We had a different game plan, but hey, we take the conversation where it goes. And if you guys like that, you know, let us know, and we'll do more of it. You know, let us know your thoughts. FFNquestions@gmail.com. But we'd like to thank you all for listening. Remember, follow Freeform Network on Facebook and Twitter at Freeform Network. Go to our website at freeformnetwork.podbean.com. There you're going to see all of our links for whatever podcast services that you use. Hit that like and subscribe button. It helps out tremendously with us on here at Freeform Network. But for Freeform Radio, my name is Daniel, and got Andy here.
It's all good. We'll catch you next time. And remember, everybody, it's okay to talk. It's okay to argue. Doesn't mean that... you know, we can't be friends. It's just different point of views, and that's all right.
Yeah, I don't like Andy's style of dressing, but we're still friends, man. I've been friends with him for many years, and it doesn't stop. So we can
everybody. You know, this is the first time I'm hearing about this shit.
We could not agree with everything, and it's perfectly fine. We could be friends, man.
That's all we could do, man. I mean, it's okay to talk. It's okay to talk shit. It just... you can't burn shit down or break windows. That's a big no-no.
No. So thank you all for listening. I was just kidding, Andy. You only dress half bad. But hey, otherwise...
Man. That 90 shit has brought me a lot of females. What they say.
Yeah, for sure. So preaching out peace and love for everybody out there. Hope you're all well, and we'll see you next time.
That was cool, Dad.